Welcome to Fit and Focus, Wellness for Busy Women, the podcast where we dive into the world of health and well-being tailored specifically for women who are juggling demands of both career and family. I'm your host, Shane, and I understand the challenges of balancing a thriving career while nurturing a family. So grab your headphones, take a deep breath, and let's embark on this journey to become the best versions of ourselves together. Get ready to get fit and focus.
Let's begin. So today, the topic is going to be booty gains, okay? Meaning how to get our butt stronger, how to get them looking stronger and looking good, more aesthetic or strength. I mean, that's pretty much the only things when it comes to it. So, we're going to break it down to a couple of things. I have all my notes here. We're going to break it down into a couple of categories. Of course, we're going to go over exercises. Let me see. Yeah, so we're going to go over exercise routine, nutrition, recovery, and consistency and progression. So these are the four things that I think definitely important. And why is the butt important? Why do people want to, you know, have a bigger butt or get a stronger butt? So of a more educational or important reason why you should have a stronger butt. Majority of times, especially in our demographic or our in this area, this country, majority of times we're sitting down. All right. If you're sitting down, we're not utilizing our butt muscles. We're not doing anything. So what happens? The butt gets weak. It's not used. It's underused. So it gets weak. Okay. The concept of the belief or the notion of you don't use it, you lose it is very true. Absolutely true. Okay. So if you're sitting down for a long period of time and you're just not using it at all, I mean, you might get up or whatever. You know, even if you're standing on your feet for a long period of time, that could help somewhat compared to sitting down, but you still need to strengthen your butt. Okay, so majority of times, if you have, number one, always, low back pain. Let's say you have back issues, back problems. So then the physical therapist usually what? Okay, we'll do some glute bridges, those kind of things. It's always surrounded around the butt. Okay, when it comes to low back, even knee pain. Okay, sometimes strengthening your butt can relieve some of that pain in your knees. Okay, so then that's that. Okay, more of the aesthetic reasons. Women want a bigger butt, you know, for appearance purposes, aesthetic, like I said. And for you, at another time, other reasons why, to get to have stronger lifts. Be able to lift a lot of weight when it comes to your lower body and also your upper body too. Having a stronger glutes can actually be important. Okay, be essential when it comes to overall development, you know, in other parts of your body. All right, so now let's go on. Let's go right to it. I know people care more for the exercise. What kind of exercise? I mean, probably seeing them. But there's a certain way I'm going to kind of say it. Because I could say, oh, do this exercise, that exercise. But I don't go over the biomechanics you should have when it comes to doing these particular exercises, okay? All of them, all exercises really, but especially these, keep your core tight. That's it. Tighten up your core, you know, to protect your low back, depending on how much weight you have and so on and so forth. I don't have to say that. I'm going to say that once, I have to say it again. Okay, so the squat. The squat is one of the most functional exercises you can do. How to squat. Now, I say this, if you don't have knee pain, if you don't have knee problems or anything like that, I'm going to say this, squat as low as you can. Squat as low as you can. And when you squat, though, as you squat, your knees should actually open up. As you're coming down, creating that, like for a better word, like a hole for you to sit down in. Okay, you don't want to the squat and your stomach hits your knees. Excuse me. You want to actually, as you squat, you're like pretty much like Moses with the ocean, or right? Every part of the seas. That's pretty much what your knees should do as your body's going down. Your knees are opening up. Of course, keep your feet shoulder width. Of course, you know, there's different kind of squats, but let's focus on the basic one. They could sumo, have a wider stance, and so on and so forth. But as you squat down, your knees are opening up. Okay. All right, so when it comes to the squat, you want to squat down as low as you possibly can. Now, what reason why you can't squat besides your knees? Maybe you could tight ankles. You can't squat that low. Your heels come up. Don't ever let your heels come up when it comes to exercises, especially lower body exercises, unless you're doing calf raises. If you're not doing calf raises, your heels shouldn't raise up off the ground. Okay. Like I said, core tight as well. Keeping your chest up. Always stand tall. Okay, when it comes to doing anything. Especially when it comes to squat. If you're doing deadlifts, a different story, but you always stand tall, always have your chest up, shoulders back, chest up. So the thing is, when you go as low as you possibly can, once you go low enough, breaking parallel, like I said, if you don't have knee issues, if you go break parallel, you actually start activating your glutes even more. Okay, you get your glutes a nice stretch, and then you extend your hips. So your glutes have the major role your glutes have is hip extension. Meaning, let's say you've probably seen people do like a donkey kick. Like some people, like you see a donkey is on it and it kicks back and it kicks somebody like, and that's behind them. That's what the main focus of your glutes are. Okay. So that's the position as you come down and then come up, you stand up. That's pretty much mimicking the same motion when it comes to, let's call it glute or hip extension. Okay. So that's why it's so important. You come down low as you can. And you, when you come down low, you're stretching your glutes when it's a squat into a deep squat and then coming back up again. That's how you really squeeze the glutes and emphasize the contraction. That's what you want. Okay. So when it comes to deadlifts, if you remember anything besides keeping your knee, shoulder width, your feet, opening your knees as you come down. Remember low squats. Try to get as low as you possibly can when it comes to squats. If you can't, a regression would be you're having weight maybe on your shoulders or holding your hands. You sit down on a chair and then stand up again. Okay, that's another progression. Or maybe not to that extreme of a regression, I should say. Maybe just squat down low as you possibly can and then come back up again. But the lower you come, you lower you go with your squats, the better. I'm telling you that right now. Okay, let's move on to the deadlifts. So the deadlifts is similar to the squat, but you have the weight, you're holding the weights in your hands below. Instead of having the weight on your shoulders, you have it below, you're holding it. Now the deadlifts, it hits a lot of other muscles besides the lower body. From waist below, it actually is a total body exercise, in my opinion. I mean, a lot of these are, but like the squats is actually, believe it or not, a total body exercise, but the deadlifts especially, okay? With this one, of course, again, focus on squeezing the glutes, shoulder width apart, heels on the ground, okay? Grab hold of that weight tight as you can and just bending your knees and coming up. Now there's different ways to do a deadlift. The sumo way of having your feet wide, having your feet narrow is more traditional way. Then you have the stiff-legged deadlifts, meaning not keeping your legs, knees not locked out. Make sure I check everybody's okay. Yeah, so make sure you don't have, you're not having your knees locked out, but you're slightly bent of the knees, okay? You're just slightly bending them, okay? Nothing crazy, just slightly bending them, okay? And that emphasizes the hamstrings more and the glutes as well, but definitely the hamstrings a lot more compared to a traditional bending the knees, coming down, like you're picking up a box. And that's why the deadlifts is one of the most, next to the squat, one of the most functional exercises when it comes to lower body, because you're always deadlifting, you just don't realize it. If you have to bend down to pick something up, that's a deadlift. You have to pick, you're moving furniture, that's a deadlift. You have to pick it up off the ground, that's a deadlift. Okay, next we're going to go to the hip thrust. Okay, the hip thrust, there's different variations. Like I said, in rehab, especially when you have low back pain, you're definitely going to do this in rehab. You're laying on the floor, you're like your knees are bent like you're about to do a sit-up, but you don't do a sit-up. You're lifting your hips off the ground. Okay, you're lifting your hips up off the ground and you squeeze your butt. Okay, your head, everything is flat, like you do, like I said, like you're doing a sit-up, but your hips are going up and down off the ground. Okay, focus on squeezing the glutes to lift your hips up off the ground. Okay, there's, like I said, the different more advanced ways to do it, like having your body against a bench, your upper body, your lower back against a bench, and then you put like a weight. You can actually do it on the ground too, having weight on your hips to give you more resistance to push you down, but you have to, of course, fight against that resistance. Okay, so I think of all the exercises, I mean, all of them really focus on the glutes, depending on which one you actually, how much of an emphasis you're squeezing your glutes. But that definitely, that does isolate it a little more when it comes to the glutes. And then another more advanced way is if you do a one-legged hip thrust or bridge, okay? Just having one leg up in the air and the other one, of course, you have to have one leg on the ground to be able to push off the ground. But it's, that's very challenging. So definitely don't do two legs. You know, I mean, definitely don't do one leg unless you feel like you're strong enough to handle that. You know, if you can do it, you know, maybe 20 reps of the of having two legs on the ground, two heels on the ground, feet on the ground, then you could probably definitely do one-legged. But it's very, very challenging. Very challenging. Okay, a lunge. Okay, now with a lunge, one thing I'm finding out with working with clients is that they have balance issues. Okay, so when you start a lunge, and I get into how low you should actually go into a lunge, but when you start a lunge, you start shoulder width, having the weight in your hand or not, whatever the case may be, have your feet shoulder width. And then when you take that step, you don't bring your foot inward, you know, you keep that foot where it is. So you keep your shoulder width, you know, your feet shoulder width. And when you take your step, that left or right, whatever leg you go first or whatever, that it should still be shoulder width. So I find that clients tend have the tendency of bringing their foot in because they want to create them, give themselves a balance, a way to balance themselves. So let me bring my foot in to kind of help with the balance. No, you actually hurt yourself with the by doing that. So consistently keep your feet shoulder width apart. It doesn't matter if you have the, you know, right leg in front, left leg in front, it doesn't matter. You want to make sure you take a big, like, take a step, then drop down. How low you go is up to you. Okay, if your knee and all these different kind of certain stuff, you know, play a role in it. If you can touch your knee to the ground, when it, you heard the key word though, touch. Don't slam your heel against the ground. I have clients that do that too, and they complain, "Shame, my knee hurts," because you're slamming your knee against the ground. Okay, so let's have control. You take that step, bring the knee down into the lunge, then come up. To make it more difficult, you want to just follow through, like you're just walking, like you're taking one step at a time. If that's too advanced, definitely don't do that. Just step forward to the other, to one, the lead leg or the back, the front leg or the back leg, sorry, meets the front leg, and then take another step, opposite leg. Okay, just don't think that you should you just know the advanced ways to do it. So just take a step, the lunge into it, and then the calves actually. If you have tight calves, have problems with your ankle, maybe consider doing whatchamacallit, like a stationary lunge. When you start shoulder width, take one step forward, like your right leg or whatever. You have to do both legs anyway, so one whatever leg for forward, and just stand there and go up and down. Up and down. It's more like the regress way to do it. But you can always do that. Okay, let me check and make sure that this is okay. So, oh wow. Okay, yeah. So let me make sure that Facebook is actually going live. It's fine. I wonder if it's like a couple seconds behind, though. That's the only thing I wonder. I hope not. I really hope not. But anyway, yeah, so that's another way to do it. Let's see. Well, I see two comments. I'm here. Hello. Oh, hey, hey, Christine. So I guess I have to keep doing this. And hey, Rishina. Okay, it's fine. Just gotta get adjusted to this thing. But anyway, because it's kind of annoying. Like I'm looking at, I have to look at two screens at the same time. Right now, I'm looking at one screen, which is fantastic. So I hope this really, really works out well. Okay. Anyway, so the stationary lunge, if you have ankle problems or anything like that, could be very, very, very good to do. Okay. You can have weights in your hands to make it more challenging. There's a lot of different things that ways to make it challenging. I can go on and on when it comes to the lunge, the Bulgarian lunge or Bulgarian split squat, all these different kind of things. But it's definitely good to have those. Definitely incorporate a lunge if you can, if your body can take it. Like I said, with knee issues and certain stuff like that. Okay, so I mean, besides those are like good exercises. You can always use like the kickback. What do you call it? I don't know. There's different names for like the machine when you're on your elbows and on your knees and you're kicking backwards. You can always use that machine to isolate the stuff too. But majority of gyms I find don't have that machine. But then also two other machines that I when I was mostly one that really hits the glutes. So you can always use the kickback machine when you're kicking back. Where do your hands go when you are hip thrust while on the ground? Under your butt? No, on your side. Well, good question. That's a good question. Oh, red light special. Oh, you can see the red light? Oh yeah. I don't know because it's, hey, I'm just trying to make this thing like professional as possible. You know what I'm saying? And they said to add like lights and different stuff like that to kind of like, make it nice. But it's like I should have had like maybe moved it to, whatever. It's fine. So yeah, so your question is, Rashina, where does your hands go when you're doing a hip thrust? I mean, so the hip thrust when you're doing on the ground, so a bridge hip thrust, yeah, same thing, but they have different names for it. So when it comes to the bridge, pretty much what you're saying, put your hands to your side. Okay, I wanna put them under my butt because it stops that range of motion. Range of motion is key when it comes to working out. The more range of motion you have, the more flexibility you have, the better you off you are. Okay, so what's good to have, yeah, good to keep your hands on the whatchamacallit, on the side, on your side. And then there's another version of it, another way. I mean, there's tons of ways I can like get tons of versions when it comes to the hip thrust. You actually elevate your feet to increase that range of motion, if that makes sense. So imagine you're sitting down on the ground and you put like a riser, one of those step machines or step plyo boxes or whatever, underneath your feet. And that makes your butt has to go a little bit further and it goes up and it goes down a little bit higher than the ground because the ground is going to stop it. But if you have to kind of go high, elevate your feet, it will make you a little bit increase that range of motion. Okay, good question though. Let me see. Okay. So now nutrition. We talk about this many, many times. When it comes, you're trying to build, in a sense, you're trying to get stronger, you're trying to build muscle. Back to protein. Okay. Many, many times we've talked about this. Protein is going to be key. Protein is going to be very, very important to for what you're trying to do. Okay. Remember, every time you work out, you're tearing your muscles down. Okay. You want to rebuild your muscles, but also make them stronger. So you need protein to do that. Like I said, you cannot increase muscle mass with a fat, nutritional fat, and you cannot good or bad fat. It doesn't matter what it is. You cannot make protein or can't create muscle from that, and you can't create muscle from carbohydrates. Okay, you need protein. Okay, let's see. Yeah, healthy fats we talked about, of course. You do need that too to help with the formation of overall health and stuff like that. Of course, you need fats, carbohydrates. You need energy. So when this is a yeah, this is something. Oh, let me just talk, whatever. One second. Let me just actually hydration. That's definitely important, and being a surplus, and that's going to kind of coincide with the carbohydrates and the surplus. So you want to be in a surplus. What is a surplus? Now, it's not overeating to a certain point, okay, kind of is, but you're eating on more than, I guess, more than your metabolic rate and metabolic resting rate to promote more muscle growth. Okay, so normally what happens when you're in a deficit, when you're in a caloric surplus, the one thing that's mostly the same is the protein. The fat is a little bit higher too, oh, not a little bit, good amount higher. But the carbohydrates that bring your calories really, really into a surplus. Then when you're in a deficit, meaning you're trying to lose weight, your protein stays the same. Your fats will come down, but the carbohydrates, you're dropping the dropping your carbohydrates, that really puts you in a deficit. Okay, so when you're trying to lift a lot more weight, what do you think you're supposed to do? More carbs or less carbs? More carbs. Okay, you're gonna have more carbs to give your body energy to actually lift the 350 pounds. So just an FYI, there's this woman. I think she broke the record. No, that's who was bench pressing. I think she broke the bench pressing record for 700 pounds. No, 700 or 600, something like that. Then this woman is, I know she broke the record, but she broke the record and I think she deadlifted. I think that was 700 pounds. I think that was a 700 pound. I think the bench press was like close to 600 pounds. Okay. But I'm telling you right now, that woman was not in a deficit. She was not in a deficit. Okay. I'm not saying that everybody wants to do that. I'm not saying that. But when it comes down to it, what you want to do is try to be in a surplus. So if you're in a deficit, though, you will get, let's say you're a newbie. You never worked out before. You're just going to be a strict, you're going to make your diet. You're going to find your nutrition. You're going to lift hard or whatever. But you want to lose weight, okay? I mean, you could be in a deficit because you're going to have something called beginner gains because your body's new to some stimulus and so it's going to happen. But eventually, you're going to get to a point where you can't lift anymore. You can't progress when it comes to your amount that you can deadlift or whatever the case may be. So then you have to increase your carbs if you want to get stronger. But if you're trying to cut and lose weight, lose body fat, I should say, you want to bring it down, bring your calories down. And you don't expect to be able to improve your weight or the weight that you can lift. But oh well. You can't increase your body, how much you can lift if you have low carbs. Okay, if you have be beginning to work out, you're gonna get some strength, but eventually it's gonna come off, it's gonna stop. You won't be able to, you're gonna come to a standstill or plateau because you don't have enough energy, you're not eating enough carbs to actually help with that development, if that makes sense. Okay, so if you want to increase how much you can lift, you have to separate the two. And do I want to lose weight or do I want to get stronger? You have to kind of pick your poison. Do I want to lose weight or do I want to get stronger? Some people at the beginning, like I said, they can have two. They can do both at the same time. But not everybody can. Alrighty? All right. That's that. That's why I had to kind of combine that carbohydrates and caloric surplus. Like I said, is the surplus is usually carbs. Okay, you have to, and you're gonna gain some body fat too. It's gonna happen. It's gonna happen. All right. But if you have like a clean bulk, meaning or clean surplus, you're eating like the whole grains. You're eating more of like the brown rices and stuff like that. Not just eating or quote unquote dirty bulk. Or whatever, you should be able to minimize the amount of body fat you increase. But if you really want to get a bigger or developed a strong posterior, you have to take in carbs. Or if you're cutting, you can still get like I guess the words perky or lifted if you in develop that muscle, like create increase that the muscle fiber sizes. That can happen too, but that's going to stop, like I said, to a certain point. All right, and don't, like I said, don't expect to get any stronger if you're in a deficit. Okay, I hope that all makes sense when it comes to nutrition. Because a lot of people think, I want to get stronger, but I want to, I want they're saying they want to get stronger and everything. They're lifting to get stronger, trying to lift to get stronger, but the nutrition says otherwise. Okay, hold on, I got a question. When are you considered not a new to exercise or lifting? 2 months, 2 years? I'll say, honestly, maybe more like a year. Yeah, that first year, like say you haven't lifted in your life, like you're in junior high school or high school or whatever, you never lifted in your life. That first year is critical. Like if you can, yeah, can we lift to make our boobs perky? You actually can, but it depends on how much body fat you have to make you have you're dealing with. But you can lift to get your breasts perky to a certain extent, but it depends on how much body fat, what the size you're dealing with. Okay, good question though. That's a good question. Kind of probably people, a lot of people have always wanted to know that one. But yeah, so yeah, to kind of recap, yeah. So within a year, I think it'll be a newbie. Okay, you might not be getting those beginner gains anymore. You might reach a standstill. And then when it comes to, make your booze more perky, I mean, it's pretty much going to depend on how much body fat you have, when it comes to that, like doing push-ups, doing the cable flies, those kind of things. But when you do that, though, my recommendation too is make sure you have that balance of creating whatchamacallit, the rows, the lat pull down, the pulling exercises. All right. Actually, to go back to the exercises too, definitely a good one to have. The only one machine you should, oh, you could do band work too, like lateral movements. What's also good to do when it comes to your glutes, and I think it's good for your glutes and your knee health, is doing stuff that open your close your legs. I forgot to add that one in there. That's very, very important for rehab purposes, in my opinion. Could it help with developing size and all kind of stuff? Not necessarily, but always remember you have to consider your body, each body part, like four quadrants. Okay, you want to make sure all four quadrants are strong within a certain to a certain point. Okay, the front and back muscles are always going to be stronger than the left, the side muscles majority of times, but you want to make sure all of them are somewhat even when it comes to development and strength. Hey Jessica, so to kind of recap, those exercises are definitely good. Eating sufficient amount of protein is definitely important. Hydration, what I was saying too, and being in a surplus. So, like I said, if you want to get stronger, if you want to get stronger and build, just build strength. Oh yeah, so yeah, build strength. You want to be in a surplus. Okay, you want to get your muscles bigger. You want to be in a surplus. Your butt bigger. You want to be in a surplus. And like I said, you have to weigh. Do you want to get stronger and have your butt get bigger, or do you want to, be slim, lose, body fat or whatever? Remember, you can't have both. Like I said, a lot of people they eat to let they eat as if they're no they're they work out as if they're trying to get stronger, but they eat like they're trying to lose weight. You have to know how to differentiate the two. Okay, now let's go to recovery. Okay, so when it comes to recovery and rest, okay, I mean, of course, sleep 7 to 8 hours, 7 to 9 hours, what have you. But the rest and recovery part, when it comes to rest, like how many days? So honestly, if you really want to get focus on size, excuse me, getting it bigger, honestly, if you can, when it comes to your lower, I'm talking about your lower body in general, not just your butt. Because you kind of hit all the exercises when it comes to leg, kind of hit the butt to a certain extent. But if you really want to, honestly, 3 days a week. Okay, you're targeting your lower body. I'm not talking about cardio now. I'm not talking about cardio. Okay, I'm talking about doing your lunges, doing your deadlifts. You can separate certain parts of your body, your lower body, into like 2 different days. And maybe one day you're focused more on the anterior portion of your legs. Then the second day, maybe 2 days after giving your body enough time to rest, you focus more on the back side of it. Because even if you do like the front side, you actually still, because you're still getting that hip extension when it comes down to it. So if you can separate it like that, or maybe have a he like a heavy day, like when I say heavy volume day, and a light volume meaning but heavy weight, lot of heavy lifting. So have a lightweight one day, maybe machines or something like that, then have more of the functional stuff like the barbells and all that kind of stuff another day. Then that third day can be a mixture of the two. Okay, yeah. So that'd be, but definitely have at most 3 days. I'm not saying to do legs 4 days. You're crazy. You're crazy if you do that. I mean, God help you, but you're crazy. But 2 days is fine. The rule of thumb is you want to have growth and development. You want to hit the body part 2 times a week. Okay, so if you do 2 leg days of lifting, that'll be good. Okay, foam roller too. Exercise. Sorry, next stretches is definitely good. There's tons of lower body stretches you can do. Like the one I like, especially for lower back, especially when you if you cross your leg over, like if like you know how so typically how a man crosses his leg, put his ankle on his knee and lean forward. That's a good for lower back and good for the glutes as well. Okay. So that's that. So recovery, the rest, like I said, having at least 1 or 2 days in between, sleep 7 to 9 hours. Because when does muscle grow? When does muscle develop and recover? When you sleep. It doesn't happen during the day. It doesn't happen when anything else, but when you sleep. Remember that, okay? All right, now, this one is very, very important. This next section, this last section, is going to be consistency and progression. Okay? Now, consistency, you have to make sure you're consistent. I mean, it's kind of obvious when I say the word consistent. You can't expect you to do it like lift once a week. In general, once a week to see results. You can't expect, you work that one body part once, or once a week. Like I said, you need to leave a minimum 2 days a week, but you have to be consistent. You have to be consistent with your, from the workouts to the nutrition. You're eating enough each and every day, and you're resting. You're sleeping 7 to 9 hours every night. And it could be tough. I mean, maybe one day, one night, or whatever you mishap. I mean, you don't do it, and you don't get enough sleep one night. It's not the end of the world, but consistently, you have to make sure you get enough to get stimulating that muscle consistently. Like I said, 2 to 3 times a week in the case of the lower body or the glutes or what have you. But then that second thing, the nutrition. Okay, you're trying to make muscle. You cannot make muscle out of thin air. You cannot make muscle out of fat, good fat or bad fat. It doesn't matter which one. Saturated fat doesn't matter. You can't make muscle out of that. And then you can't make muscle out of carbohydrates. You need your protein. So consistently every day having your protein and keeping eating a good structured diet each and every day, including the weekends too. Weekend carbs or weekend calories matters. Okay, calories, like if you're gonna take this, you really want to do this, you're gonna have to be consistent with it. I mean, like I said, one day, once in a blue moon, maybe once a month, you can have a lapse. That's fine. But if you're not eating enough, you're not sleeping enough, you're not stimulating the muscle enough, you're not gonna see change. Okay? All right, let me see. Let me see. All right. So, yeah, what else? Progression. Okay. When it comes to rule of thumb, okay, Shane, I just deadlift or leg press 200 pounds, and I did it for 10. How did it feel when you got to the 8 or 8, 9 or 10 rep? Oh, it felt okay. Put some more weight on. Okay, it's hard for me to really judge unless I'm there. But my rule of thumb, if you can go when you're hitting 10 reps, and 9 and 10, or whatever, is not that challenging. It was challenging, but not anything crazy, increase the weight. Okay. And there's, I mean, there's a lot of different ways you can actually work out, you lift or whatever. Like saying slower reps, those kind of thing can actually transition into bigger gains. Like saying, when I say slower reps, I mean, let's say you're squatting, you have the bar on your back, you're standing up, you're about to squat down, you're going on a three count, 3 second down, then you hit that point, you can't go anymore. 1 second up, 3 seconds down, 1 second up. If you're a seasoned vet, you're working out for a long time. If you do that, so when I say down, though, so let's say we do an arm, doing bicep curls. If you could bring in, so that I don't want to get into scientific like concentric, eccentric, but when you're coming down with the weight, or the weight is it's not the lifting portion. You're not exerting yourself. When you're not exerting yourself, you move slow. Okay, when you're going to squat, you're not exerting yourself. When you're doing a squat, when you're going down, you exert yourself when you come up. So when you come up or when you exert yourself, that's when you go fast. But then you go down slow into that eccentric or the relaxing phase of the lift. Okay, does that make sense? I hope that makes sense. All right. Yeah, so when it comes to progression, though, overall, though, if you're doing a lot of reps and you feel like you're getting to like 10 and it's challenging, but not that really challenging, increase your weight. You want to make sure you stimulate that change. Okay. Eventually, if you're eating good and eating what you're supposed to eat, eventually the weight's going to come easy. And then you have to change it up. And then same thing with exercises too. you can't all the time when you do a leg day, you cannot do the same kind of exercise. Oh, I'm gonna go to leg press, I'm gonna leg extension, the leg curl, and that's it. You know, every day, every time you come in, your body's gonna get used to that. Even if you increase the weight or not, you know, you still have to make sure that you challenge and change, do your lunges, do your deadlifts. Like I said, have a machine day, a lot of reps or whatever, and a more functional day of barbells, dumbbells, those kind of things. And then the last day could be a mixture of both if you do 3 days. I actually think 2 days is fine. But if you do 3 days, you could do like that.
Are you ready to transform your health and wellness journey? At Kadapa Strength, I'm committed to helping you achieve your goals through my three pillars for results. First, I educate, equipping you with essential knowledge to understand your body and its needs. Then I execute a tailored plan, ensuring every step is personalized to your unique lifestyle. Finally, I encourage, providing accountability and support every step of the way. Get ready to unlock your full potential and thrive in every aspect of your life. Visit me today and let's embark on this journey together. Check me out at kandapastrength.com.
What else? What else? So, you know, yeah, I'll definitely track your last thing. Track your progress. You want to make sure you write everything down. I have an idea of what, or if you're good with memory, you can remember stuff. Kind of see where you're at with certain things. Okay. Okay, cool. All right. Let's see. I think that's about it when it comes to that. Okay, yeah. So any questions about anything so far? Machina, you have some good ones already. But any more questions when it comes to, any questions at all when it comes to this? I feel like I've been, oh wow, this has been going for a long time. 40 minutes. But yeah, any questions when it comes to building muscle in general, when it comes to building your butt, when it comes to building anything, doing anything, any questions at all? Because I mean, I think I hit on everything when it comes to nutrition, when it comes to exercises. Let me see when it comes to, let me see if anyone's, I mean, I don't know if anyone's in this chat. No, but it says two participants. I don't understand. One in audience. So who's the audience? I don't know. Okay, no, I just going to need to schedule better. Yeah, I mean, like, say if you can guarantee yourself to have like 5 days, I could definitely do 5 days, and you want to prioritize your lower body. If you can, definitely just set it all up. I mean, have, you know, schedule yourself. I mean, if you're not planning, what's it called? If you're planning, if you're failing to plan, you're planning to fail. You know, and just having a plan can go miles, no, miles, go far, you know. But it's very, very important that you plan it all out. I mean, I have myself planned out. Well, for the most part, I have it planned out. I mean, anyone really should. You just don't want to show up there and just, okay, I'm here. Let me do something. I mean, some people need that just to do that, to kind of get motivated and do something. But try to have a plan and, you know, I mean, that's what I'm here for. If anyone needs help with that, but if you want to start out, I mean, prioritize what's important to you. You want to get your lower body stronger. And just a heads up, this is just something that I picked up from things that I've seen, not just like, how should I put it, like like studies or whatever. But I mean, it's kind of, to me, I really believe in this. I believe you want to add years to your life. I seriously, sincerely think having stronger legs is very, very important. Okay, because I think it signifies strength, and help with longevity, in my opinion. Because I'm not spiritual, or I'm not trying to get spiritual or anything like that. But I think it's because you have a good foundation. Having strong legs, you have a good foundation, and that's what we like trees, you know. We have, you know, our roots and everything, and that's what we use to stand up. That's what we do to do everything. You know, I mean, was there a study done on this? Like, you know, can help with, you know, certain issues as we get older? I don't know, but I really believe that if we have strong lower body, stronger limbs, stronger legs, it could definitely help us in the long run of things. Especially, you know, being hunched over and stuff like that. Having strong glutes can help us stand more tall. Not just lats or whatever. Okay, but yeah, I mean, oh shoot. Well, that's it. Oh wow. Well, anyway, that's good timing. We're all set for tonight. I guess that's my time to log off. But thank you guys so much for watching. I don't see any more questions. So let's leave. Wow, that's really red. Let's leave that where it is, and I'll see you guys next week. All right, I really appreciate you guys watching, and I hope it definitely helped somebody. All right, you guys have a good night, okay? Take it easy. Bye.
Are you ready to transform your health and wellness journey? At Kadapa Strength, I'm committed to helping you achieve your goals through my three pillars for results. First, I educate, equipping you with essential knowledge to understand your body and its needs. Then I execute a tailored plan, ensuring every step is personalized to your unique lifestyle. Finally, I encourage, providing accountability and support every step of the way. Get ready to unlock your full potential and thrive in every aspect of your life. Visit me today and let's embark on this journey together.
Check me out at kandapastrength.com.